Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas, and it's great to have your company here tonight. The way this podcast works is as simple as it gets. Just pick an episode, press play, and settle down into bed. I'll take you through a short relaxation, and then I or one of my friends will read you a bedtime story designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. You can always revisit past episodes on nights when we don't have a new one ready for your ears, so make sure to listen every night wherever you get your podcasts, so you can maintain a consistent bedtime routine. We'd love it if you'd follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and the links are in the show notes. There, you can vote on what stories you want to hear in upcoming episodes, like tonight's story, which will be read by Sam. It's called The Myth of Atlantis, and it's one that you all voted on. In this story, we'll hear about Nico, who, on his day off from work, discovers a long-lost city beneath the sea. But is it real or just a dream? Before our story, I'd like to send out a big thanks to Helix Sleep for supporting this podcast and helping us keep it freely available for all of you listeners. Helix make amazing, ultra-comfy mattresses. And as you know, sleeping on something comfortable and supportive is one of the most important parts of getting a good night's rest. Each one of us is different, so why just buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Use the Helix Sleep online quiz to discover the best mattress for you. It takes just a couple of minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. By answering some simple questions, Helix will match you to one of their amazing, best-selling mattresses. They come with the additional comfort of a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights, risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our Get Sleepy listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/getsleepy. That's Helix. helixsleep.com/getsleepy for up to $200 off. It's the most simple and effective way to find your ideal mattress. So now, as you snuggle into bed and settle in for a good night's rest, let's prepare for our story. Take a deep breath in and slowly release the air back out. Continue this pattern of breath, filling your lungs right up and then releasing the air slowly and steadily. If you're holding on to any tension, try squeezing your shoulders up to your neck as you breathe in. Let the tension collect there and hold it for a couple of seconds. Then, as you breathe out, release that tension and feel it flow down through your body and out through your toes. Keep that going, squeezing your shoulders up to your neck. And then releasing all of that tension, bit by bit. Eventually, you'll feel it all just ease away as you exhale and release, letting the tension escape your body. Your muscles gradually begin to relax and become heavier, sinking into the bed. Take your time with this. You can keep it going as long as you like. And any time you sense anxiety or tension just lingering within, take a moment to release it with those deep breaths. Now, let's turn to our story. As you take your next breath, imagine the briny smell of warm sea air. Let it fill your nose. Smell the sand and the water mixing with a touch of salt on the breeze. The wind comes in from the sea and ruffles the leaves of a fig tree standing tall at the edge of a picturesque Mediterranean island. Long beaches turn into well-worn paths that lead up from the water's edge to a cluster of white buildings nestled across a rocky slope. This is where our story begins.
Nico stood on the white stone steps leading up to the villa above. He looked out over the city perched on the hillside, like an ivory waterfall frozen in time. Beyond it, sapphire waters gleamed in the lake. Morning sun. Nico blinked and used his hand to shade his eyes. Santorini was a bright city, like a jewel in the Aegean Sea. He considered it flashier than his home island of Anafi. But beautiful, too, in its own unique way. He turned back toward the villa and took the steps two at a time. He didn't want to waste a single moment of his day off. Nico worked at the villa as a scuba diving instructor. He also took visitors on tours of the city, through its rambling avenues and twisting back alleys. He led hikes and walks, taught kayaking, and even did backcountry adventures for particularly enthusiastic guests. It was a fun job. He got to do all the things he enjoyed and share them with others. But on his day off, he relished the time he had to himself. For the most part, every visitor to the island wanted to do the same things, and he couldn't blame them. He went to tourist spots when he travelled too. Nico cherished his days off because it allowed him to explore the less frequented areas of the island. At the top of the steps, he took a path leading around to the back of the villa. The owners were kind enough to let him stay in a small apartment that was partially detached from the guest area. He had his own entrance and a window that looked out over the sea. This little apartment was his sanctuary. He loved walking up to it from the path and seeing its whitewashed walls stand out against the bright blue sky. That same blue coloured the painted double doors leading inside. His living space was simple, but he had everything he needed. One wall was decorated with photographs of his family and friends back home. On another wall hung a delicate fishing net, which was strung with glass beads that reflected light from the window. It cast rainbows throughout the apartment, which danced with the passing clouds outside. Nico laid down on his bed to think. He hadn't yet decided what to do with his free time. He could head into town and wander around the market, or go for a hike. He hadn't walked the cobblestone path from Farah to Ia in a while. It was one of his favourites. As he contemplated the options, his gaze wandered out of the window to the crystal clear sea below. There was an area out beyond his normal dive zone that he'd been meaning to explore. He always stopped short of it when he had guests, as it was a little farther than he was comfortable taking new divers. But someone as experienced as he was, it would be an easy afternoon dive. He'd heard from a friend there might be some interesting fish that liked to frequent the area. The weather was nice. The sea was calm. It was a perfect day for a dive. He closed his eyes and imagined the feeling of floating in the deep blue. He loved that sense of weightlessness and the quiet that came with it. With his mind drifting in this relaxing way, Nico couldn't help but doze off into a daydream. The sun beamed through the window, warming his body. A breeze blew in through the window, causing his fishnet to tap gently against the wall in a rhythmic pattern. Nico stirred and realized he had drifted off. "I guess I should get moving," he thought. Nico packed up his diving mask, snorkel and fins and put them into his dive bag. With all of the other equipment he might need, he slipped an apple and a bottle of water into his day pack for the walk to the beach. He closed the blue doors shut behind him and walked back down the white steps to the narrow lane that would take him down the hillside. He followed the cobblestones around the first curve. The road had a series of switchbacks down the hill. It made for a longer walk, but also a gentler one, especially if you were going in the opposite direction. Around the bend, he passed a group of tourists snapping photos of the bay below. They had chosen a great lookout spot. If you stood just right, you could take a picture of the iconic white buildings cascading down the hill to the edge of the water, which was the lifeblood of this place and had been for a long time. For centuries, ships had travelled the Aegean Sea in search of adventure, treasure, and glory. Heroes arose from its waters victorious. Others fell, but lived on in song and story. One such story gave his hometown its name, Anafi, meaning to bring to light. According to mythology, the Argonauts, a group of Greek heroes, were sailing home from a Colchis, but on their return, they were besieged by a storm and left to drift upon the open sea. They pleaded with the god Apollo to guide them to safety. When hope was nearly lost, lightning crackled in the sky above them. In its flash, the sailors saw an island off in the distance. They turned toward it and cast anchor. Safe on land, the sailors made an altar to the god and thanked him for illuminating their path. They called the island Anafi because it was brought to light by the hand of Apollo. It had this name since ancient times and would keep it so long as people told the tale, Nico thought. That was the way of stories. They gave meaning to a place, which, in turn, gave meaning to those who called it home. And the Greek Isles were full of stories. The sun was directly overhead by the time Nico arrived at the beach. He was going to do a shore dive, meaning he'd wade out from the beach through the surf to the deeper water beyond. He pulled on his wetsuit, hooked up his tank, put on his mask, and adjusted everything so it was comfortably snug. He waded into the water, feeling the coolness rise up his shins. Once he was about waist deep, he slipped on his fins. It was easier to put them on in the water than trudge through the sand with them. Diving could be a graceful art, but the gear was not made for land. Now, fully suited up, Nico dove forward into the water, enjoying the touch of coolness enveloping his body. A few strokes later, he was deep enough to float. The burden of his equipment disappeared, and he could move around freely. He took one last look at the horizon and the clear blue sky above, and dove down beneath the surface of the water. With the help of his fins, it was easy work. A gentle kick went a long way. Down below, Nico felt weightless. He stretched out his arms and moved his legs slowly, watching small ripples circle out from the tips of his fins. He didn't rise. He didn't descend. He just remained. What sunlight made it under the waves danced around him in folds of blue. It was like being suspended in time and space. This moment stretched out with no beginning and no end, but had all the clarity and detail of a single moment played out for a day. Zooplankton, tiny ocean creatures, drifted with the currents around him. A school of fish darted near a rock by his foot. The fish circled the rock, and then, in one synchronous movement, turned and swam off into the distance. Nico had explored this area before, but where the fish were going was unknown to him. He began to kick gently, following their lead. He glided through the water effortlessly, turning right, then left, then right again. As he swam, he descended. The light shimmering at the surface didn't penetrate as fully here in the deep. Aquamarine gave way to turquoise. Turquoise turned to teal. Greens and blues intermingled here and became darker still near a cluster of undersea boulders. The fish disappeared from sight between the rocks, he let his legs float and paused to consider where he should go next. He knew exactly where he was and had plenty of air to keep exploring for a while longer. He slowly used his arms to pivot in place. He could turn back and head in another direction, or he could go find the hidden coral he stumbled upon once before. There were beautiful sea feathers, cornucopia, and red coral, some of the best he'd ever seen. As he turned slowly in the water, he let his mind wander. How many other people had explored these depths, he wondered. How many wooden ships had sailed above this very place in ancient times? Did those sailors also wonder what secrets were held here in the deep? Nico found himself facing the rocks where he'd last seen the fish. But this time, something was different. Behind the rocks, a wall of seaweed climbed up from the seafloor. Its densely packed tendrils reached for the lighter waters near the surface. It seemed a bit odd. These thick green vines hadn't been here before. But they must have been, he thought. Seaweed doesn't just appear from nowhere. Nico drifted slowly toward the seaweed. He didn't recognize the type, which was strange for him. He'd been in these waters countless times. When he was within arm's reach, he extended his hand towards it. His fingertips brushed lightly against the seaweed. Slowly at first, the green began to glow, as though someone was holding a flashlight behind it. Nico thought it was a trick of the light and ran his fingers over the surface once again. As the seaweed swayed, its edges changed from green to gold. The gold grew brighter and started to spread inward. The light moved along the spines of the plant to the stalks until the whole wall before him was a glowing blaze. It was like magic, Nico thought. He reached out his other hand and pulled back some of the tangled vines, and there, just beyond, he saw something. He couldn't believe his eyes. He stared for a moment, making sure it wasn't just an illusion. At first, it appeared to be a vast landscape of sunken buildings. There were columns, arches, wide avenues, and pointed rooftops, all shimmering beneath a veil of blue. But as he watched, the blue began to fade, replaced by a soft, subtle light, like an early spring morning. And as the light grew brighter, the water itself began to recede back beyond the limits of the great city. This hidden part of the sea began to drain like a bathtub, slowly revealing the city in pure light, without the obstruction of water. When the last drop disappeared, trees sprouted leaves before his eyes, and grass pushed up between the large flagstones of the path before him. Nico reached through the gap in the seaweed. On the other side, he felt no resistance from the water. It was as though a transparent barrier kept the sea from rushing back in and filling the city. His fingers moved through the air on the other side. Using both hands now, he pulled himself toward the opening. Once his feet crossed the threshold, his flippers landed with a plop on the white stones below. He stood on an empty city street. He slid his mask away from his face. He didn't need it here, apparently. He reached down and pulled off his fins. The stones felt cool beneath his bare feet. Nico placed his fins, mask, and tank in the shade of a large olive tree just off the path. He would leave them here, safe, until he returned. And with that, he started to walk toward the city ahead. Silence lingered all around him. There were no birds in the sky, no cats paddling from stone to stone. There were no people, no wind. Nico was alone. The flagstone path led him to a large archway made of thick blocks of white and grey limestone. There were a few cracks in the stone. This arch must have stood here, undisturbed, for millennia. He passed beneath it and came to a small square. On either side stood identical large buildings with columns and roofs that came to a sharp peak in the center. Beyond this first square were narrow alleyways dotted with a maze of houses. There were single-story buildings and larger apartments, all crafted from the same fine stone. He walked through the streets and peered up at the balconies above. There were no clothes hung out to dry, and no smells wafting from the kitchens. Only a stone, and beyond it, a bright blue sky. He continued on along, past homes and bathhouses, through courtyards filled with old fountains. He walked until he came to the base of a hill at the very center of the city. Looking up, he could see a cluster of buildings at the top, and a small path etched in white stones leading the way. Nico began to climb. Up and up he went, circling the hill. With every turn, he gained a new perspective on the town. He could see how it was built from up here. All roads leading to or from it. When he reached the top, he found himself behind a large and imposing edifice. Perhaps it was where the rulers of this city used to meet to make the decisions that would shape the course of its history. Perched high upon the hill, it afforded a clear view of the city in all directions. And this was no small city. It was a grand metropolis. He walked around and happened upon a small courtyard. Up ahead stood the most awe-inspiring thing he'd seen since entering this strange and mysterious place. It was tall and white and shone brightly against the sky. The sturdy pillars on either side and the steps leading up to it crafted from the finest marble. This must have been a temple, Nico thought. It would have been in perfect shape, save for one detail. The temple was cracked in two. A jagged line cut the stone from top to bottom. Pieces of it had crumbled away, leaving unpolished marble open to the air. Nico stood in front of the cracked temple. He reached down and picked up a handful of dirt, letting it fall back to the ground. his fingertips. Above, he could see only sky. There was no trace of the sea he'd watched flood out of these city streets, leaving them dry. An entire city, standing as it once was. No algae, nor ocean growth to mark the passage of time. What on earth could this be? He thought, as he looked around for clues. And then, he found one. Entrance to the temple, words were carved into the marble. He didn't recognize the writing and couldn't make out the meaning, except for a single word written at the top. Atlantis. And then Nico realized where he was. This was the lost city beneath the sea. For generations, divers and storytellers alike had searched for this legendary place. He'd heard the stories as well. There once was a great civilization, far more advanced than any other. They made buildings of white stone, and in the courtyards there were fountains. The people who lived here, Atlanteans, knew how far they'd come. But as their power and influence grew, so did their greed. This angered the gods, who knew all the gifts they'd bestowed upon these people. Gifts that now were taken for granted. And so they brought down upon Atlantis a night of terrible fire. The earth itself trembled, cracking open the waters of the sea, and down Atlantis sank, lost forever to time. Nico felt the story course through his mind like a rushing river. He understood the magic, the myth of this place. As he stood atop the hill, in the center of it all, he thought for a moment he could see Atlantis as it once was. It was a busy city, bustling with people and industry. Purple and red flowers grew on vines that snaked up whitewashed walls, and birds called to one another from tree to tree. He heard the sounds of people talking and singing, or bartering in the market over handmade goods. He smelled sharp goat's cheese and thick olive oil spread over freshly made rosemary bread. He closed his eyes and took in the rich smells and sounds. deep beneath the waves. For a moment, he was there, in Atlantis, the fabled city as it once was.
The lost city of Atlantis.